जया गिरिवराधारे जया गिरिवराधारे जया गोपी जनभालाभा जया गिरिवराधारे जया गिरिवराधारे जया यशोदा नंदना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया जमुना तीरा बना चारे जया कुंज बिहारे जया जमुना तीरा बना चारे जया कुंज बिहारे जया राधा माधवा जया कुंज बिहारे जया राधा माधवा जया कुंज बिहारे गोपी जना भालाभा जया गिरिवराधारे जया गिरिवराधारे जया यशोदा नंदना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जया ब्रज जन रंजना जमुना तीर बन चारे जया कुंज बिहारे जया राधा माधवा जया कुंज बिहारे जया कुंज बिहारे
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजक आचार्य आशुतोष तरशत श्रीमाधि सेवाइंग ग्रेस A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya, Ashtotara Shata Shishimad, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Grantarashimam Bhagavatam ki, Tai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shishiguru Vanshi Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Withdrawal of the Cosmic Creation, Chapter 5, The Demigods Appeal to the Lord for Protection, Text 17, all the way to text number 20. I read 17 and 18 and then... Which one is okay, so then we read 19 together. Nisam jai tat suragana Mahendra Varuna dhaja Nadya gacchan swayam mantrair mantrayanto vinishchitam tato brahma shabam jakmur meror murdhani sarvashah sarvam vigya payam chakru pranata paramesthine. Translation. Lord Indra, Varuna and the other demigods, seeing their life in such a state, consulted among themselves, but they could not find any solution. Then all the demigods assembled and went together to the peak of Sumeru mountain. There, in the assembly of Lord Brahma, they fell down to offer Lord Brahma their obeisances, and they informed him of all the incidents that had taken place. We can read together. Sa vilokendra vayi adim. Sa vilokendra vayi adim. Nikshatam vigata prabham. Lokam amangala prajam Ashuran ajata bibhu Savilokendriya vaivadim Nishatvam vigata prabham Lokam amangala prajam Ashuran ajata bibhu Sabilokendra vaivadim Nishatvam vigata prabham Lokam amangala prajam Ashuran ajata bibhu. Please chant. Savilokendriya Vaivadim Nisattvam Vigata Prabham Lokang Amangala Prajam Ashurang Ajatha Vidhu. Sai Vilokendra Vaivadim Nishatvam Vigata Prabham Lokam Amangala Prajam Asuram Ajatha Vibhu Samahitena Manasa Samsmaram Purusham Param Uvacho Phulabhadano Devansa Bhagavam Para. Saha Lord Brahma Vilokya, looking over Indravaju Adim, all the demigods headed by Lord Indra and Vayu, Nishatvam, bereft of all spiritual potency, Vigata Prabham, bereft of all effulgence, Lokam, all the three worlds, Amangala Prajam, merge into misfortune, Asuram, all the demons, Ayata, flourishing, Vibhu, Lord Brahma, the supreme within this material world, Samahitena, by full adjustment, Manasa, of the mind, Samsmaram, remembering again and again, Purusham, the Supreme Person, Param, transcendental, Uvacha, said, Utfulabhadanaha, bright face, Devan, unto the demigods, Saha, he, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Paraha, of the demigods. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Upon seeing the demigods were bereft of all effulgence and strength, and that the three worlds were consequently devoid of auspiciousness, and upon seeing that the demigods were in an awkward position, whereas all the demons were flourishing, Lord Brahma, who is above all the demigods and who is the most powerful, concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus being encouraged, he became bright-faced and spoke to the demigods as follows. Purport. After hearing from the demigods a real situation, Lord Brahma was very much concerned because the demons were unnecessarily so powerful. When the demons become powerful, the entire world is placed in an awkward position, because the demons are simply interested in their own sense gratification and not in the welfare of the world. Demigods or devotees, however, are concerned with the welfare of all living beings. Srila Rupa Goswami, for example, left his ministership and went to Vrindavan for the benefit of the entire world. Lokanam hitakarino. This is the nature of a saintly person of them or demigod. Even impersonally think of the welfare of all people. Thus Brahma was very much concerned at seeing the demons in power. ॐ अज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्याजनञ्जनाशलाकजा चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। नमोम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचरिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाशति आदि सतरिणे वंचा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। सो अगेन फॉर द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज एंड द डिवोटीज हु वाचिंग इन द इंटरनेट, this is not the Subal morning show. It just happened to be this week like this, so please bear with me and with us. So the narration of what happened to the demigods after being cursed, as the Indra being cursed by Durvasa Muni, and the demigods basically lost all the power and influence, and the three worlds became bereft of all auspiciousness, devoid of all auspiciousness. And the demons who won the battle against the demigods and took over the control of the worlds, of the universe, then became very, very powerful, and they were flourishing. And it is explained here that Indra and the demigods, they went to Lord Brahma to take shelter of Lord Brahma and try to find a solution. They were trying to find a solution. Actually, the situation was very difficult because the army of the demigods, many of the demigods were killed. And there were certain situations in which the demigods sometimes, you know, they can be revived. But in this situation, there was no solution. So they lost everything, and they couldn't find a solution, so they went to Lord Brahma. Something addressing the question that Jordan Prabhu asked yesterday in terms of, you know, so who's greater than, you know, like that, there's different realms. So in this sense, the position of Lord Brahma in this verse is very clearly explained as the most powerful living entity in the universe. So in general, you know, when things goes really, really south, then the demigods always goes towards Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma, through the different pastimes, when the demigods comes to ask for help, he is the one who's able to communicate, have direct access to the personality of Godhead. So he communicates with the personality of Godhead, or he's the intermediary, how you say, intermediate person that is able to directly communicate with the personality of Godhead and receive instructions from the personality of Godhead. We see it happens in this pastime. It happens also, we hear, when Mother Earth was very much afflicted and went to Lord Brahma and the demigods, when the demons were also controlling the whole affairs, you know, they were too powerful, and when controlling too many of, disturbing too many of the pious affairs or religious affairs in the earth, and specifically Kamsa and all the different demonic kings that were during that time in the planet. So when Mother Earth and the demigods approached Lord Brahma was the one who took them to the shores of the ocean of milk, where the Lord resides as the Shirodakshai Vishnu, and he meditated. They all meditated, but it was Lord Brahma the one who was able to receive the instructions from Lord Vishnu. So this is the case here, and several very important points are explained by, you know, we can take from Prabhupada's purport. One is the difference between the demigods and the demons. The demigods are considered devotees. They are they're godly type of beings and extremely pious, and they're devotees. They're devotees. They have mixed devotion on. The devotion is mixed with desires of enjoyment of power, but they're devotees, and they're considered godly beings, and therefore they're always considering the welfare of the living beings. They have, as part of their service, they're, it's almost a social workers, or they're servants of human, of, you know, of the creation of all the living entities. And so their main purpose is to make sure that the welfare of all living beings are there. And the demoniac mentality is different. The demoniac mentality is completely self-centered. And they're concerned about the sense gratification, and I was in the presentation that I did on Sunday, we were discussing about this demoniac mentality, that is, because sense gratification is basically self-centered, is very selfish, and sense gratification is explained that you can expand your selfishness, expands from just yourself into those who you consider yours, but it's always self-centered. My family, my friends, my community, my country, like that you can expand your selfishness. So so the demoniac mentality is, you know, is I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, and the proprietor. So they take the position. The demoniac mentality is taking the position of God. So therefore, the idea of having to have accept someone that is greater than you, it doesn't fit the demoniac mentality. It actually makes them very disturbed. So the demoniac mentality is always against anything that presents that there is someone that, you know, people have to surrender to. And then we hear in the narrations, you know, of the Bhagavatam, and also we see it, you know, in throughout the history of the world, that great demons, they go to such an extent to cause all kinds of disruptions and destructions according to their beliefs, that one can just, like, you know, question, you know, who in the world would like to do something like that? Say, for example, you know, we hear the narrations of, you know, the instructions that Hiranyakashipu or Kamsa or, you know, different demoniac kings, they give to their followers, which is to completely disrupt and destroy any type of religious sacrifice, any type of activities that were performed as sacrifices for the welfare of humanity, they sent to be destroyed. So in the case of Ravana too, the followers of Ravana, their business was to completely disrupt and destroy all the activities of the saintly persons and, you know, yagyas. So, and not only that, but also harm and destroy those who are brahmanas, or the priests. So there was narrations, you know, that we hear from the Mahabharata and from the Ramayana, that rakshasas that were, you know, sent by these demoniac personalities, you know, like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, they will not only attack, you know, the places where the, how you say, the places where the saintly persons were, their ashrams and their places of sacrifice and temples, but they will kill them too. They will eat them. And then in more recent times, during the times of Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, we hear, you know, demoniac kings, like there was this fellow whose name was Arun Sebek. His business was to destroy all the temples of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. He decided his main palace and kingdom was in Agra, which was, you know, fairly close to Vrindavan and Mathura. And one day, he became to his awareness that in the distance he could see the light that was the fire, sacrifice fire, that was put on the top of the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan, and he decided he would destroy them all. So when we go and visit the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan by Srila Rupa, was the one that was built under Srila Rupa Goswami, we see that, you know, it's still a magnificent building, but it's only the first, I think, four stories. There were like five, no? Yeah. So I think there were 11 stories or something like that that got dismantled. And by this, and then the deities have to be taken away. He destroyed many of the temples. And then we hear of these demoniac kings in South India, that his name was I forgot the name immediately, but something with K. Well, he decided he also had to destroy all the Vishnu temple. He was a follower, he was a Shivaist, and he decided that, you know, all the Vishnu temples have to be destroyed. And specifically, he basically annihilated the whole Brahminical population of Sri Ranganath, which was the headquarters of the Vaishnavas, you know, the Sri Vaishnavas in South India. And he basically massacred so many of the Vaishnavas there. So many. I mean, it was shocking. I can't remember the figures, but so this is the mentality of the demons. They can't stand, you know, so they go into this destruction. So, you know, one thing, you know, why would you like to destroy, you know, all these activities that are meant for the welfare of people? And, you know, maybe you can, you know, introduce something, you know, that, you know, being a little more diplomatic, more sort of negotiating things, you know. But that's not their position. Their position is that they immediately act to actually destroy anything that have to do with accepting that there is a supreme person other than them. So the devotees are different. The devatas are different. The devatas, it is explained that they will think twice to actually do something that will harm or create, you know, some difficulties for others. They, even if there's enemies, they still think, you know, things further and further to actually take action, even to the point of, you know, being righteously entitled to attack or eliminate the particular aggressor, demonic aggressor. They will still think. And that's the quality of a devotee. Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna and the Pandavas. And they had all the reasons to destroy Duryodhana and followers, because even according to the scriptures, they have the reason. It was bona fide for them to kill them. It was bona fide. It was not going to be questioned by the laws of the universe about themselves punishment by killing them. Because there is explained that there is six type of aggressors that you can that you have lawfully in the universe. You won't get punished, or you won't get, you know, if you actually attack or kill. You know, someone who plunders, who takes your property. So you're lawfully, you can actually attack and harm. I don't think I remember all the six, but someone who tries to kill you or attack you with weapons, deadly weapons, you can also do that. Someone who defiles your family, specifically your wife, you can do that. Etc. Excuse me. They're calling because Kalakanta Prabhu is his fly was delayed, so they're trying to make arrangement for getting Kalakanta. So that's what that's the extra calls. So, where I was now? Once one meat is poison, and you remember the other ones? Yeah, so the Kuru, the Duryodhana broke all of those. All of the six he did. He tried to destroy, you know, their kill them by fire, by poison. He gave poison to Bhima. They tried to disrobe Krishna. Shruti, I'm giving the Bhagavatam class. You're right now being watched by the internet. To the internet devotees, Shruti is sorry. So they broke everything. So the Pandavas, naturally, they could kill them. They could attack and there was no problem. Now, when it came to the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna was ready to give up everything, because he was starting to think, let them enjoy. Why should we get into this thing of killing? You know, their family You know, and on the top of that, the consequences of all this is that they will completely this, you know, when Arjuna has his doubts, was based, Prabhupada explained, that that's the heart of the devotee. Because the devotee is thinking that, why causing all this disruption? They think like that. So, that is a big difference. And therefore, when there is these terrible disruptions, you know, caused by the demons, when in the whole, you know, environment of the universe, you know, they basically come to try to disrupt the whole system, the universal system that is created by Krishna. The universal system that Krishna created is perfect and complete. Also, you know, the whole Ishopanishad principle. And it's perfectly organized. And in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that how that system works. It's a system between, you know, man and demigod and the process of sacrifice. 3:10 in the Bhagavad Gita, that the Lord blessed them by saying, be thou happy by this process of sacrifice. That, so it says that in the beginning of the creation, the Lord sends forth demigods and men, and thus bless them by the process. Here's the process, sacrifice. You perform this sacrifice, yagyas, and the result is that everybody will flourish, will have everything necessary to live happy in this world, and at the end, go back home to Godhead. So, you know, a perfect system. So, and it's a system that functions perfectly between demigods and man. And the demons, they're very disturbed by this system because they won't accept the authority of the personality of Godhead. Man and demigods living within the system of that Krishna gave, they accept the supremacy of Lord Vishnu. That's there. The ones that can take the supremacy of Lord Vishnu are the demons. So that's the difference. So when there's a disruption, when the demons start to take over and disrupt too much this perfect system, then the Lord comes. And it's explained that the Lord comes, or the Lord's representative also will take up that job. There's a very important verse in the Bhagavatam. It's considered the most important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know which verse is that one, any of you? It's called the Paribhas Sutra. Paribhas Sutra means the supreme. The verse, if you have an understanding of this verse, then the whole Bhagavatam makes sense. So you have to have this verse clear. It's called the Paribhas Sutra. Srila Jiva Goswami gave them this title. It's the key verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know which one is that verse? Any of you have heard that? It is canto 1, chapter 3, text number 28. Ete chansa kalapunsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indriyari vyakulam lokam. What is it? Sambhavami yuge yuge. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Yeah. Basically, huh? Oh no, then this is very similar. Let me see here. Let me look very quickly. Indyari Vakulan Lokan. Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Mridayanti Yuge Yuge. Similar. Ete chansa kalapunsa krishnastu bhagavan swayan indriyari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. Mridayanti yuge yuge. The verse in Bhagavad Gita that says basically the same thing is yada hi dharmasya glanir bak, what is it? Yada hi dharmasya. Say it. Glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttaman adharmasya sambhavami yuge yuge. Sambhavami yuge yuge. Yeah. So this verse is very important. Why call it the Paribas Sutra? Because establishes Krishna's position as supreme. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is explained that the verse read like all these incarnations, all these different manifestations, narrations of the different incarnations of the Lord, they're all very important. They're all supreme. There's a supreme personality of Godhead, but this word two, Krishna's two, two means but, and the way Srila Jiva Goswami explains is that it's like saying, in this assembly, there are many great personalities. There are so many great politicians, you know. There's a mayor of Illinois. There's a mayor of New York. There is, you know, the minister of this. There is the minister of that. But among them, there's a president of the U.S., the USA. There's a president of the country. So this "but" or this "two," it means that among all of those, there's one that is most important. And that's Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead. So Krishna's position is established. Now, indriyari vyalokan, vyakulan lokam, that indriyari, the enemies of Indra. So every time the enemies of Indra become too powerful, then the Lord appears millennium after millennium to protect the devotees from the enemies of Indra. So in many different planets there's enemies of Indra, or this is just the demons. So the Lord appears in these different incarnations to protect the devotees. So, same thing in the Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya, when the Lord appear, when there is a decline in religious principles, and there is a flourishment of irreligiosity, at that time he appears, and then he says, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma sanstapanartayo. Okay, that was when the sambhavami yuge yuge. Yeah, I'm getting old, man. I need to take the brahmachari studies. Go back to that. Sambhavami yuge yuge. So, to protect the devotees and to annihilate the demons. So he comes to actually reciprocate, to give reward the devotees and to punish the demons. So he does that regularly. So it happens over and over and over. And so many, it constantly happens. That tells us what is the nature of this world. This nature of this world is that, you know, you get a little distracted or too comfortable or too like casual about it, the tendency is that we'll go towards that. So it always goes towards that, towards trying to neglect the process of or the instruction or the authority of Krishna, and then go towards, you know, demonic mentality, which is basically Ishwaraham aham bogi. I am the controller, I'm the enjoyer. So every time he goes that, then Krishna comes personally or sends his representative. So one can think, well, these days is not a pretty picture out there, you know. I mean, it's pretty demoniac in one sense. Why Krishna doesn't come? He came 500 years ago, you know. Why he could, you know, right now? I mean, if we compare how was back then 500 years ago and how is now, now it's pretty bad, you know. Now it's much worse, and it doesn't look pretty for the future either. So things are increasing, and so maybe, you know, I wonder why Krishna, you know, could appear himself. The next scheduled incarnation of Krishna, there's still like 430,000 years for that to happen. That's an awful long time. That's the next incarnation, Kalki. So it would be a good reason to come now. But Krishna doesn't have to come himself. He can send, you know, his representative. And I want to read you, I've mentioned before to you guys the writings of Srila Lokanath Das Goswami, Lochandas Thakur, in his Chaitanya Mangala, he reveals, you know, this conversation that happens in Dwarka, in which Krishna is expressing his coming into Kali Yuga to establish, you know, the principles of religion. So, and if a great personality sees problem, he can either come himself or send someone that is very trustful, or how you say, trustworthy of him, to actually take care of the situation. So this is this narration. Nama guna sankirtana vaishnavara shakti prakash karibe ami nija prema bhakti. Chanting of the name and qualities of Krishna is the life and energy of the Vaishnavas. I will reveal these activities and rejuvenate pure devotional service unto myself. Ei mata kali papa karibe shanghara sabe chala aje pache nakara vichara. In this way I will destroy all the sins in Kali Yuga. So all of you, my associates, go ahead and take birth on the earthly planet before my advent. I don't remain behind. Ebe nama sankirtana tishta kadaga tishna kadaga laiya antara ashura jivera pelibe katiya. Taking the sharp sword of the congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Nama Sankirtana, I will root out and destroy the demoniac mentality in the hearts of all conditioned souls. Yadi padi chadi dharma dure deshe jaya, mora shenapati bhakta Jaibe Tataya. If some simple people escape and giving up religious principles go to far off countries, these are the far countries that is the word is Dese. And we pray to Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Pashatya Deshe, or Desha Tarine. So this Deshe, far off countries. Then my Senapati Bhakta will come at that time to give them Krishna consciousness. Senapati means a military field commander, Bhakta, a devotee. So Lord Chaitanya will empower his own devotee to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. That's that narration. So Prabhupada came as empower, fully empower, like with the power of Krishna. So therefore, among Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Prabhupada is accepted as a Shaktivesh avatar. And so meaning that he received the Shakti to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. That's how it was possible to do it for him. Something that was never heard before happened historically, that in a short span of time, 12 years, he was able to transfer or establish a very old foreign tradition into, you know, a culture that was completely against it. And that was Srila Prabhupada's power and greatness. So the Lord comes in the form of this ISKCON movement to actually establish the principles of religion. And that's a great fortune to actually being menial, tiny, put a little, you know, anuseva to Prabhupada's being one of the little soldiers of the greatest great Senapati Bhakta. And assist him in his mission to establish, you know, religious principles in the world. So I stop here. Any comments or questions? Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hopefully tomorrow we have another devotee divinity class. And also I actually wanted before to make a little correction from yesterday. Kim Priyavrata is the son of Swayambhuva Manu. Uttanapada is his brother. So I mentioned, you know, I was a little confused. So that's a correction. Thank you. Hare Krishna.